This podcast is brought to you by Adidas. Same dogs, new threads. Head to huskyteamstore.com to check out the new collection. This podcast is sponsored by University Bookstore. Join the Pack Rewards and save 10% on Husky gear every day, even on game day. Join the Pack today at ubookstore.com.
Okay, so today we are back with another themed episode. Today we're going to be talking about two stories about CSE, both involving diversity and equity. The first one is a profile done on the new incoming CSE director, Magdalena Balazinska. And the second one is a profile on Dr. Sapna Churyan. She is an organizational psychologist who studies the kind of environment of STEM and tech culture and why it is particularly not inviting to women. So we're going to tackle both of those stories today.
I think it's really cool that we had both of these come out in the same week. It's like a real kind of fun, punchy way to start thinking about women in STEM as we kick off this new year. And It's kind of cool that just a couple episodes ago, we were talking when Tiasha was here and we were talking about CS and her experiences. We were talking about diversity and inclusion and how minorities and women get involved in these kinds of fields. So it's exciting that we already have content that kind of focuses on that, since that's something we said we wanted to see more of.
Yeah, and I also think that from what I've seen, not only from talking to Tiasha, but also like anecdotal stories from some of my other friends who are women in this CSE department or any other like really male-dominated areas of STEM, which is to say all of them, is that there is definitely that mentality and kind of harshness, coldness, unfriendliness that does come with them. And so that has kind of been validated multiple times over. And so now it's really cool to see like research put to it, because I think that will convince a huge audience of people who has just been like, this is like a total lie, or can disprove it. Some of those stories are coming out of our university as well, too.
I think it's also really cool that because of these stories, we get to kind of highlight the accomplishments and the brilliance of these women in particular and what they've done over the course of their careers. Both of them have had really illustrious careers, and They're both very thoughtful and intriguing, and it's really cool to kind of take a look at that and admire it, especially, you know, for people who are maybe aspiring to go into the same kind of career paths as these women have. I think it's nice that they get to see this as, oh, hey, that could be you, or you could follow something similar if you wanted to, you know?
Yeah, so it's gonna be an action-packed episode. As always, you're listening to Daily Discoveries. I'm Thelonious Gertz.
And I'm Rhea John, and this is the weekly roundup of stories from the science section.
Earlier this quarter, one of our writers, Ash Shaw, she started a series of features on prominent women in STEM, and obviously that expands to like not singularly women, but also like anyone who has a female body and occupies a position in STEM. So she'll be profiling quite a few people throughout the quarter. And the first one is on this psychologist, Sapna Churyan. She won one of Crosscut's awards, I believe it was last year, where basically Crosscut did a story detailing a bunch of STEM-related people who represent many different social positions across the spectrum of diversity in one of their issues. A few UW faculty and graduate students were on that list. And so when I was looking for stories one day, I saw this article about Sapna Churyan, and so I was like, oh, I should pitch this out. And Ash decided to kind of run with an entire column about that. And Sapna's research is really, really interesting. So she started out kind of on this path as a graduate student at Stanford University. And when she was living in the Bay Area, she was looking for tech-related, you know, like internships and jobs. And when she went to apply for these, she kind of felt a really big disconnect being in Palo Alto and, you know, Silicon Valley, where it's kind of a hub of tech research and innovation. And so she said, I remember going to the companies and quickly deciding whether or not I'd want to work there. And she basically immediately started to take note of all these really like quintessentially like male and exclusive social norms and attitudes that would populate these environments. Like, they would have traditionally tons of like posters about Star Trek, as funny as it sounds, which are shows that have a mostly male viewership, and basically like everything in that organizational environment was geared towards men only, and she really didn't feel like there was any room for her. And so her research coming out of that is basically looking at how the environment already filters out a select group of people, which in this case are women, and then also how those environments can be modified to increase women's interest in STEM. And one of the studies she looked at particularly was how if you modify certain attributes, make them more gender inclusive and welcoming, it actually increased the amount of women who expressed interest in CSE, just from like pamphlets and diagrams and from showing people different kind of like environments where they said people here work in computer science. So yeah. I thought that was very interesting.
I actually thought it was kind of funny that she said, not funny, but it sort of piqued my interest that she mentioned specifically, you know, conference rooms with Star Trek names as their titles, because I thought it was interesting she mentioned that as something that has a mostly male-dominated viewership, because for me, like, I really enjoy Star Trek, and I watched that as a kid with my mom, so it's not something that I personally consider to, like, I guess it's true, it does have a male-dominated viewership, but that's not the way, like, I personally viewed it. So it was really interesting to see, like, you know, different people with different exposures to things as well, like, what things that call out to women more, and, like, how can those things be represented in these spaces just as much as maybe something that she perceived as calling out to men more.
And further to kind of add to the urgency of this research is that in a study done by the National Science Foundation in 2010, only 12.7% of engineers in the United States were women, which is actually a decrease from 2 years prior in 2008. And in engineering programs like UW, the going rate for women graduating with bachelor's degrees is around 22%. So what kind of looking at a broader perspective means for this is that computer science and engineering is a huge field right now, and there's a lot of economic prosperity that basically is being limited to one single social group. So it's not like you're just talking about a career that's like making no money and people are like, oh, you should have more diversity in this. You're talking about like arguably the career of this century. So I think that is always something really important to point out. And another thing that's really interesting about this is like there have been computer science programs in undergraduate that increase, you know, women's interest in computer science, and it's not an undoable thing. At Carnegie Mellon University, 50% of undergraduates in their CS program are women, which goes to show that a university not on the same like size as UW, but still a pretty big university, was able to balance out their gender distribution in intro CS courses. So
the cool thing about that too, I think, is that Carnegie Mellon has a very prosperous computer science program and
robust.
A very robust engineering program for sure. So it's definitely nice to observe that maintaining a gender balance hasn't had any kind of negative effects on their and the outputs of their department. If anything, they're very successful. I think it definitely could be a model that, you know, if we could learn from that and adapt that to work with the culture that we have here, I think it would be really interesting to see what we can grow from that in terms of prosperity for our school and departments as well.
Yeah, and both UW and Carnegie Mellon are leaders in HCI research. They have really large research outputs, but there's a huge disparity, obviously, in gender there. And another thing that Sapna points out is kind of even moving farther than that is that she mentions how kind of the general model that most people work with about like bringing diversity to the table is that it values diversity in a very strictly male way, which she realizes that obviously there's a place for, you know, creating programs that draw women leaders and women participants into. But the kind of thing she points to as a larger problem is that these fields and really any field have been taught to not value feminine traits by any means, and they're just like, oh, if you're a woman, great, you know, you can just adopt these really masculine traits to succeed in a corporate environment. But really the next step in the larger cultural process would be recognizing the validity of feminine behaviors and incorporating them into a diverse workforce.
This podcast is also brought to you by Global Innovation Exchange. Are you ready to lead the development of innovative solutions for connected devices or robotics? The UW Master of Science and Technology Innovation, MSTI, offered by the Global Innovation Exchange, teaches the skills needed to go from concept to development and onto market. GIX is a new model of experiential education founded by the UW, Tsinghua University, and Microsoft. Work alongside industry sponsors to get hands-on experience. Courses are focused in the areas of design thinking, technology development, and entrepreneurship. Learn more at our next info session on October 3rd at 6 p.m. at the UW Allen Library Auditorium. and explore our cutting-edge space on December 5th at 5:20 p.m. at the Global Innovation Exchange in Bellevue. Learn more and sign up at gixnetwork.org. GIX, design, build, launch.
For sure, especially because some of the things that people bring to the table that are different are what makes their contributions really valuable and diversifies what's on the table in the first place, which I think breeds better ideas overall.
Yeah, and the last quote in this article I think is really profound. She says, if we focus on changing women to fit the field, she said, it's not going to be effective. And I think that's really interesting because, like, at the end of the day, what you're asking women to do is basically just change the essence of who they are and who they've always been to be able to have a prosperous job.
I think it's also worth considering that it's not just a loss in terms of opportunity for women, but it's also a loss in terms of opportunity for the school. I mean, if, mm-hmm. you know, like you're saying, if UW and Carnegie Mellon are sort of leaders in HCI research,
yes.
and if a woman like Sebna is looking at this field and thinking about where she would be comfortable working as like a very talented, brilliant researcher,
yeah.
and she sees that gender disparity, she might feel that a better work environment for her is Carnegie Mellon,
mm-hmm.
and then UW has lost out on a brilliant mind because we couldn't offer a more comfortable work environment, which is, you know, I think it's something that we should consider.
Yeah, and so what I think is really great about this from like a disproving standpoint is this goes completely against the grain of what many people have been indoctrinated to believe. Like, oh, women just, they just don't fit into these fields. They just, like, it's just not what they do, but it's, like, it actually is what they do. Just no one wants to look close enough to see it.
It's fascinating too that actually this thing that you're saying about, you know, women don't fit into this certain way, maybe being a kind of popular but, you know, distasteful viewpoint to have, there mm-hmm. was that written essay from that UW CSC professor not so long ago that came out that was like, this is why, you know, women don't make it in these STEM fields, and it's just they're not interested and they're not cut out for it. And that's sort of what he wrote, which is I agree, illuminating, because, you know, he's in this mm-hmm. influential position. I mean, this school is really well known for its CS program, and he's in this really important position as a member of faculty. He's published all his research. He has his lab. Like, those kinds of thoughts or, like, attitudes are distasteful, maybe to say out loud, but they're still prevalent even among people who hold a lot of power in these kinds of circles. So mm-hmm. it's good to keep an eye out.
Furthermore, too, it's kind of crazy to think about, but like the model, and this is a huge big issue that I don't even want to go down this rabbit hole too much because we could talk for hours, but the CSE curriculum at UW is not even friendly to men either. It's tough for everyone, and so you can imagine that if we look at this research and identify all these issues are probably tenfold in a super competitive environment that favors certain traits like having a lot of CS experience for years and years and years before you enter, which often women are not encouraged to do in their early years, and so you're already selecting out a huge portion of the population. There's not really that dream of like, go to college, figure out what you like. It's more like, know what you like, and then try to be able to even get into studying that when you get here.
Right.
So, yeah, another CSE story. Do you want to?
So this article is about Dr. Magdalena Balazinska, who is an incoming director of the Paul Allen School, which is a really important big position. And it's a piece that features her life and her interests mm-hmm. and her accomplishments. So it follows her academic journey. She studied she originated in Poland, and then she studied in Europe, and then she eventually got her doctorate from MIT.
Mm-hmm.
She worked with Microsoft. She was awarded several times, and she held several leadership positions at UW even before she's kind of moved into this position.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see her in such a huge position of power, you know, as like a woman in mm-hmm. STEM, and she's leading this whole department, and it's a really big, prominent department because it's one of the things that UW is best known for.
They got two buildings, mm-hmm. which is insane.
And it's also really cool because she has sort of said that something that's really important to her is diversity and inclusion and encouraging people from all walks of life and from all periods of their life, starting from when they're very young, to apply into CS and to not be afraid to take that step
mm-hmm.
and participate, and that they're, you know, important and valued in that field, which kind of comes back around to that thing that we were talking about with Sebna's article too, that's so important to see for people.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it's worth noting that one of the things she said about why she came to UW I thought this was really cool is that she was saying that she was looking for places where like people had all these interesting data management problems to solve, and she saw all this opportunity here to collaborate with scientists because, you know, we have strong departments in oceanography and in biology and in chemistry, and she saw that like she could come here and work with so many people and apply what she knows about CS and data management to all these different kinds of research. And I find that so exciting, like the application and what CS can do for us. It's so broad. And I thought it was really cool that she saw our place as somewhere that she could connect with a lot of professionals who are already doing great work and use her talents to make their work better.
And it's kind of similar to the series you're doing about like AI and its interdisciplinary applications. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this is not AI exclusively, but like her CS research, working with the eScience Institute, that is an interdisciplinary field that offers like a variety of programs to kind of get their intersection in computer science.
I definitely think it's valuable, and I think it's one of the things that strengthens the community at UW so much too, is that the departments and the communities aren't insular, they're very interconnected.
Yeah.
And I think it leads to much better work overall. So I was really excited to see that she was talking about that. And it's just a good read overall. She talks a lot about her interests and how excited she was to study CS and that it was good for, I guess, from her perspective to get away from, like, art and English and history because she just wanted to, like, work on puzzles. And it's just wonderful to see someone, too, who, after so much time in her field, has so much excitement and joy for the everyday tasks that go into her work. So
I think it's really inspiring to see that she was not always, like, set on CS because she obviously has risen to a very high place in academia and research and all the accolades that come with it, which are really ridiculously competitive. But at the core, she started out like all of us, starting college, you know, taking classes, figuring out like, I'm good at this, but like, what am I actually going to do with my life?
To be fair, I would say that she maybe even started not so much like us in a way because she like immigrated all over the world. Even before she came to America, she had a really like big diversity of experiences. So that in itself was have been like a really new thing for her. And also because she navigated being a woman in CS at a much earlier time than people are navigating it now and in a much different climate and culture. Whereas like now these conversations that we're having are actually acknowledged as important, like about diversity and inclusion. But there was a time when even just talking about that wasn't considered something worth doing. And, you know, she has made a name for herself through that time period as well. So I'd say that she has faced a really unique set of challenges, and she has turned them into a really bright set of opportunities.
I also think it's important to point out that, like, she's leading the center after 13 years under the directorship of Hank Levy, who is very important in the field in his own right, but it's been dominated since 2006? Yeah. It's been run by a man, and probably beforehand, so I think...
When was the last time that we had a female director for the Allen Institute?
I don't know if she's...
Not the Allen Institute. When's the last time that we had a female director for the Allen School of Computer Science?
I don't actually know. It's just really significant, because that's like over half my life, to put that in perspective.
And it puts her in a really influential place, not just at UW, but in computer science across the country, because UW is, you know, really pushing CS research.
Yeah.
And it's considered a really good place. It's very competitive to do CS here, so that's very impressive.
And there's huge industry ties with Microsoft and Amazon and huge pipelines for research and collaboration with private companies, which in turn just increase the amount of money that CS has. So I think it's doubly important to see diversity figures at the very top, because there you have the ability to make a lot of change and make sure that you have just not the same voices guiding the entire field. So.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, in the when we had talked with Yasha about like CS and inclusion and diversity and like her experiences in one of our first episodes, one of the things that we had said is that it must be really difficult to find a program and then tailor it to the needs of specific people if you don't have any of the people you're trying to tailor like the needs to in the administration, because then how do you know what their needs are in a way? And I think it's great that, you know, she's in this position and that she has all this personal experience and values diversity and inclusion, because, you know, I think that she brings a really valuable perspective to the table as someone who has had to struggle herself to the top of, you know, this field.
So I think it'll be really exciting to see what happens in the next couple years. And I don't know if she's assumed her directorship yet. Don't know if we have that data, but it should be pretty soon. I think they start in, like, something weird like November. It's weird. Like, the positions don't, like, turn over at the beginning of the school year, even for, like, some other departments that are turning over this year. So thank you all for listening, and tune in next week. We will be discussing more science content, as always. We might even have some more natural science coverage coming up, which I'm really excited for. So, yeah, thank you.